Good evening, and welcome to the Safilo Group conference call on the second quarter and first half 2012 results. This call may contain forward-looking statements relating to the future events and operating, economic, and financial results for the Safilo Group. Such forecasts, due to their nature, imply a component of risk and uncertainty due to the fact that they depend on the occurrence of certain future events and developments. The actual results may therefore vary, even significantly, to those announced in relation to a multitude of factors. Today's participants are Roberto Vedovotto, Chief Executive Officer, Vincenzo Gianelli, Chief Financial Officer, and Barbara Ferrante, Director of Investor Relations. I'll now pass the call over to Mr. Roberto Vedovotto, Chief Executive Officer. Mr. Vedovotto, you may begin.
Thank you very much, George. Good evening to you all, and welcome to Safilo second quarter and first half 2012 results conference call. Thank you also for still being here with us on August the 2nd. As usual, I'm here with Vincenzo Gianelli, our CFO, and Barbara Ferrante. Together, we will guide you through the financial results of our second quarter and first half of this year. Then at the end, we will leave some time for questions. I'll start by saying that the last three months have been an eventful period of time for Safilo. We have achieved some significant strategic targets, which give us a tangible confirmation of the validity and the strength of the actions undertaken. Let's look briefly at the key facts of Q2 2012. Number one, on the operations front in July, together with the unions, we signed at the offices of the Ministry of Employment and Social Security in Rome, the solidarity contract we had previously agreed on in June. This is in order to best manage the industrial impact of the non-renewal of the Armani licenses. Number two, on the portfolio of licensed brands, we renewed the license with Hugo Boss Group, one of the most important and most prestigious partnership with Safilo Group. This renewal clearly represents a fundamental step towards our strategy of consolidating relevant licensed brands, and also in line with our commitment towards a portfolio selection which focuses on our top brands. Number three, on the Safilo own brand portfolio, the second quarter of 2012 saw, for the first time in our perimeter, the new, recently acquired Polaroid eyewear business. This is the official kickoff of our future growth in the specialist and value for money segment, and testifies our increasing focus on the Safilo brand portfolio. Now, if we take a look at our economic and financial performance, our Q2 2012 results are in line and consistent with our expectations. I would like to highlight the organic performance of our sales. At constant currency, and perimeter. When excluding the discontinued business of Valentino and Nine West and the fading out brands of Armani and Balenciaga, our organic performance on sales was positive. We were up 6.1% and clearly accelerating compared to the first quarter of the year. Once more, I'd like to remind you all that the second quarter results were influenced by few non-organic factors, and more specifically, I would say they were influenced by the strong US dollar, the ongoing phase-out of Armani, and as said before, by the addition for the first time of the Polaroid eyewear business. Let's now look at the geographical performance. In the United States and in the developing countries such as Asia and Latin America, we actually experience very good trends. The U.S. market per se gained momentum. Our performance was very positive both in prescription frames business within Trio's environment, where, as you know, Safilo has a dominant and very strong presence, as well as in the sunglasses through specialty stores and department stores. Our high-end retail network, Solstice, had a like-for-like performance equal to +6.3%. I'd like to say that the results were very positive throughout the majority of the brands in our portfolio, with the highlights represented by the American brands, which we develop and distribute in the U.S., and with the high-end collection, particularly those of the Hugo Boss Group, Jimmy Choo, Gucci, and Celine performing extremely well. We are also happy with the sales growth of Latin America, and more specifically, I would say with the significant development that we are on one side achieving with Carrera, which has already become the most important brand we have in Brazil, and with the good performance, particularly in terms of orders of Mexico and Brazil. Emerging markets in Asia also progressed nicely, in line with our plans. If we then look at the specific brands, as I already anticipated, high-end luxury brands were strong and Gucci was extremely strong. With that said, diffusion brands did also very well, particularly Tommy Hilfiger, Boss Orange, Marc by Marc Jacobs, and Carrera deserve a particular mention. And that has been true also in Asia, while in Europe the business environment remained more complex. As far as Europe is concerned, I would say Northern Europe, France, Germany have been positive. Key accounts have been positive too. And then we had experienced different performances in other countries and in other distribution channels, where Spain and Italy remains difficult, but certainly better than in Q1. Our performance with GrandVision BV was in the first half of the year, up 39%, and in Q2 was even better, up 41%. Finally, synergies are coming through, and our business relationship is getting stronger, is gaining momentum, and we think that we can do even better than this. With that said, the Southern European market remain a little bit difficult, but better than Q1. And this is also thanks to numerous projects we have been undertaking to develop brands, in-store presence, overall performance on all distribution channels. I would say that we are progressively and steadily improving our performances. And given the competitive scenarios and the growth challenges, we are also, as you have seen, strengthening our organization. To that extent, we have just recently announced the appointment of Massimo Renon as new head of Europe, Middle East, and Africa. And we are extremely excited about Massimo joining us. He joins us from Ferrari, where he has been global head of sales and post sales. And he also, before that, gained a more than 10 years experience in Luxottica, where at the end he was New Europe region director. I'm particularly happy of Massimo joining because his deep knowledge of the industry, the clients, the products, and his expertise in the development of premium luxury brands will, on one side, strengthen our senior management team. On the other side, and more importantly, I think will dramatically help our performance recovery in EMEA. Talking about modern distribution, travel retail is another front in which we have been very active and results finally started to come along. We are today in travel retail working with the most important sector operators, developing an increasing number of special dedicated projects, from promotional islands to branded towers, all of the above bringing us to have a much higher space share within the travel retail environment. The other thing I really wanted to mention was that in the second quarter, we launched Carrera 6000, which has been a very important success. Carrera 6000, those of you that are on the line from London might have seen the advertising in the London cabs. We have about 600 cabs in London going around with our Carrera 6000 image. It's a new vintage model characterized by wavy temples and entirely made in uphill. Few weeks after its launch, which had been basically 3 months ago, we have already reached 100,000 pieces sold. And this is clearly an extremely encouraging result, which is giving us evidence that the work we are doing is in the right direction. Before giving it to Vincenzo, from an economic point of view, the group performance in the quarter has been solid. Top line grew by 7.3%, down 1.8% constant exchange rate and perimeter due to the Armani phase-out. As already said, if we exclude FX, Polaroid, Nine West Valentino, Balenciaga, and Armani, The organic performance second quarter was up 6.1%. This has allowed a higher resilience in operating profitability, with EBITDA margin standing at 11.8% compared to a usually strong first quarter where EBITDA was 11.2%. As far as financial performance is concerned, the net result of the period, together with good management of working capital, allow us to have and to maintain financial leverage close to the low levels of the end of 2011. I think with that said, I will now hand it over to Vincenzo to elaborate on more details, and as usual, I will come back at the end of Vincenzo's comments for some final remarks. Vincenzo?
Thank you, Roberto. I will start from summarizing the main economic highlights for the period, slide four. Starting from the top line, €324.6 million in the second quarter and €613.3 million in the first half of the year, reporting respectively a 7.3% and 1.7% growth compared to the corresponding periods of 2011. To help, on one side, the strength of the US dollar, the consolidation of Polaroid Eyewear for 3 months, April to June, and the positive performance of the organic business. On the opposite negative side, the phase-out of the Armani brands, which affect all regions and product categories. Moving down to the P&L, in the second quarter, the gross margin was equal to 58.9% of sales, down 100 basis points compared to the second quarter of 2011. In the first half of 2012, the gross profit stood at €365.3 million compared to the €364.3 million in the first half of 2011. The gross margins remain pretty at 59.6% of sales, very close to the results we achieved in the corresponding period of last year. At the operating level, the EBITDA and EBIT margins were equal to 11.8% and 8.7% of sales, respectively, some 130-140 basis points lower than in the second quarter of 2011, partially closing the performance gap recorded in the first quarter. Semi-annual EBITDA amounted to €70.7 million, or 11.5% of sales, while EBIT stood at €51.2 million, equal to 8.3% margin on sales. These compare respectively to 13.3% and 10.3% in the first half of 2011. Bottom line, in the second quarter, the group net profit was equal to €9.6 million compared to €12.9 million in the same period of 2011. In the first half of 2012, the net result reached €21.5 million compared to €31.3 million in the first half of 2011. Moving to slide five, to the drivers of the top line. In the second quarter, revenues of our core wholesale business recorded an increase of 6.7%, corresponding to a minus 2.2% at constant exchange rates and perimeter, with specific underlying trends by area. Americas were up 14% at current exchange rates, 3.7% constant currency. The organic sales performance, as defined before, was solid, gaining momentum in the second quarter, up 16%, thanks, as said, to the good sales trends of both prescription frames and sunglasses. Looking for a while at the retail network in the U.S., Solstice stores further improved their positive like-for-like performance, up 6.3% in the second quarter, 5.2% in the first 6 months. The retail business was up 15.3% at current exchange rates, 3.3% at constant exchange rates, as we kept focusing on the efficiency program starting in 2011, last year. In the second quarter, we closed 6 additional stores, streamlining the network to a total of 137 shops. In Asia, sales were up 8.7% at current exchange rates, down 2.2% at constant exchange rates. Emerging markets in this area were strong and could benefit from the dynamism of the high-end collections as much as from the propositions in the fashion and diffusion segments, while sales in the region were impacted by the weakness of the Japanese market, less 25% at constant exchange rates. European sales were up 0.6% in the second quarter as they were the main beneficiaries of the consolidation of the Polaroid business. At constant exchange rates and perimeter, sales in Europe were down 6.6%. Performance remained solid in Northern Europe, with France and Germany progressing nicely and very strong on key accounts. Southern Europe was instead weak, but showing better trends in June and also July. Organic sales in Europe were slightly positive in the second quarter of 2012, plus 1.6%. Now, let's move to the main drivers of our operating performance. In the second quarter of 2012, EBITDA was equal to 38.4 million euros, substantially in line with 39.5 million euros recorded in the second quarter of 2011. Focusing on the dynamics of the wholesale business profitability, EBITDA stood at 11% from 12.7% in the second quarter of 2011, mainly influenced by the decline of volumes of the phasing out brands. At the gross profit level, the negative price mix effect on the discontinuing brands was well counterbalanced by the positive performance of the organic business. Below the gross profit, the incidence of SG&A costs on turnover was influenced by the investments that we had performed starting from the second part of 2011 to support the development of brands and markets. As far as our retail business is concerned, we are happy with the positive contribution to the group profitability as its operating performance. EBITDA increased to 22.4% of sales in the second quarter of 2012 from 17.4% in the same period of 2011. Below the operating line, in the second quarter, net interest expenses declined by roughly 26% thanks to the advanced partial early redemption of the 60 million euro high-yield bond carried out in June 2011. On the other hand, following the strong U.S. dollar appreciation, total financial charges were influenced by the negative impact of exchange rate differences. The net profit of the period contributed to the solid cash flow from operating activities, we detail in the next slide. The free cash flow highlights the positive performance of the operating cash flow, which benefited from the economic result of the period and the management of working capital. On the latter, I would like to point out that its incidence on the last 12-month sales, excluding the temporary effect of Polaroid, where we have consolidated the overall working capital and we have just 3 months of sales, improved compared to both June and December 2011. The cash outflows for investing activities is explained by the acquisition of the Polaroid eyewear business for a total consideration of 59.6 million euro, 58.4 million net of the cash acquired, and increased to 90% of the shareholding in the Chinese subsidiary. Pre-acquisition, the free cash flow of the first half of 2012 was positive for around 18 million euro. On the group net debt, you find highlighted the proceeds from the capital increase reserved to HAL, 44.3 million euros, for which the great part of the Polaroid eyewear acquisition was funded. At the end of June, net debt declined to 231 million euros, allowing us to maintain our financial leverage stable at 2x. Finally, I would like to remind you that at the end of June, we repaid around 80 million euros of senior debt, precisely Facility A1, Tranche 1, Facility A2, and A3. The reimbursement was made through available financial resources, cash and utilization of the revolving credit facility available. At the end of June 2012, our gross debt was equal to €287 million, down roughly 13% compared to €328 million at the end of December 2011. This was composed by €128 million of high yield bond, €101 million of senior loan with a revolving facility drawn for €76 million and €58 million of other lines. I now hand it back over to Roberto for his further consideration.
Okay, thank you, Vincenzo. As my final remarks, I would say that as anticipated at the beginning, in the last 3 months, we have achieved three fundamental main goals for our long-term development. Let me give you some additional information on the three different achievements. First, the strategic industrial agreement with the unions, which will enable us to have a better organized production footprint with more flexibility and certainly an increased efficiency, is not only in line with our industrial plan, but also gives us a competitive edge going forward. Going to more specific a little bit, but without boring you too long, the use of solidarity contracts for a period of 24 months will be, first of all, applicable to all Safilo's Italian plant employees. This agreement will allow our group to address the difficulties arising from the non-renewal of the Armani license, but more importantly, will allow the company to limit the negative impact on production capacity, recovering competitiveness. The solidarity contract, in fact, calls for a much more flexible work organization based on reduction of working hours and shifts in line with current and actual group needs in terms of volumes and workers' skills. To that extent, we will do training and requalification programs to increase the current skills of companies' workers, and that will be able to guarantee us best-in-class service level, which is precisely aligned with Safilo's new requirements. At the same time, we will also do selective investments in order to update the plants and increase technological innovation in our production processes. All in all, what I think is that the signing of this agreement represents a very important step for Safilo. On one side, to face and address in a very successful way the industrial complexity arising from external factors. On the other side, protecting our employees and their job, but at the same time, putting us into a situation where, for sure, our competitiveness will increase. The second goal that we reached was the renewal at the beginning of July of the Hugo Boss license agreement. I heard people saying that the early renewal was a concern to them because they thought that we did it being desperate for having lost Armani, and as a consequence of that, economics of the license were more expensive for us. Quite the opposite. We have had always a very transparent and professional relationship with Hugo Boss Group and their management team. We started negotiating the renewal of the license earlier on, much earlier than losing Armani, and we kept them updated on the progresses. The reason why we did the early renewal was that through an early renewal, we have been able to sign and agree with them much better economics in terms of minimum guarantee, given that the business plan that we had in the previous contract was negotiated much earlier on, before 2008 crisis and all of that problems. So we're very, very happy with the fact that we've been able to renew BOSS, because BOSS comes with BOSS Black, Hugo, and BOSS Orange. So to summarize, we renewed 13 brands in the last 24 months, and we signed one new brand, very successful, Celine. In the same period, if we exclude Armani, which we lost but we wanted to keep, we did not renew on purpose 5 contracts. This is clearly in line with our license brand strategy, which we had outlined earlier on, where we wanted to be selective on the portfolio of the brands that we manage, and where we wanted to be coherent in terms of profitability, revenues, top line, and profitability, and where coherent business together with economics are the pillars of our partnership. I think, as we said before, the Hugo Boss Group license will generate a very interesting turnover. We think that we will be able to grow the business above the 100 million euros. The third achievement goal reached is referring to Polaroid. We are developing very important projects for Polaroid. At the moment, we are doing it in Europe. We are really getting ready for Americas and for Asia. And we will put a lot of effort and focus on those two areas. I don't want to anticipate much, but I think that we will have a great launch of Polaroid in the U.S. market with some very important events and initiatives. On the Safilo's brands, going on with Carrera. Carrera, as you know, is a strategic pillar. The brand is performing, has been performing well. It has been weak in Italy and in Spain, but we are recovering. I just recently saw market shares per brand in the most important, on the 5 most important countries in Europe, and May and June have clearly given us a strong sign of recovery. I would say that we are working hard with this brand, because it does have a great potential of development, and we're trying to certainly strengthen the collections to broaden the gender reach and the product offer with a clear and global brand positioning in mind. I think that you will see very interesting new collections on Carrera. Last but not least, and again, with talking about Safilo's brands, we will have a much greater focus on the expansion of Smith beyond what Smith does at the moment. We think that Smith has an extraordinary opportunity of growth. At the moment, Smith is mainly sport, is mainly winter, is mainly U.S., is sport channel only. We think that we can do very well in eyewear. There is a big opportunity in eyewear. There is a big opportunity in the optical channel. With that said, I think I'm done with my final remarks. I really thank you very much for having been patient with us. And I'm here with the team to answer all of your questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure your mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach your equipment. If you find your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. We'll pause for just a moment to assemble the queue. Thank you.
Can you open the line for Mr. Cecchinato, please?
His line is open now, sir.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, Alberto, we can hear you. I apologize, and I'm sorry for the problems with the system.
No problem, no problem. Just two quick questions. In the last quarter, you commented on the bank consensus that you had for your full-year estimates, and it was an EBITDA of $96 million, if I remember correctly, and it still is at the moment. Could you comment if it's achievable or not, and what are your thoughts about it? And the second thing is, I understood correctly that Grand Vision contributed to a growth of 39% in the first quarter and 41% in the second quarter. And the third question, if you could give us the contribution of Polaroid to the BDA number in the second quarter. Thank you.
Alberto, I think that as usual we don't give any guidance on the full year. If I understand correctly your question, you're saying if we think that we're going to be able to we are on track basically with consensus, which you mentioned. Can you tell me the number again? What did you say? 96 million EBITDA.
Yes, Bloomberg at least says 96 million.
What I can tell you is that July has been again a very good month, and continuing the trend where Q2 has been better, substantially better than Q1. So I think that the trend is in our favor. As far as the contribution of the GVBV, yes, we have had a good, very good performance with them. Finally, as I said before, synergies are coming through. So yes, we did plus 39% on the first half and plus 41-point-something in the second quarter. And then the third question, the
contribution for the quarter.
Yeah, we usually don't make comments on single brands, and we like to stay with that.
All right, because it was just a question of perimeter, actually. But that's fine.
Yeah, I understand. I think you can do. I prefer not to comment on specific plans, but I think that I hope that the way we had reported the numbers makes the calculation pretty easy.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you much, sir. Sir, just for information, we are actually doing a test on the system to see if it is working. So if there is anybody else that might have signaled you, if you tell us what their line is, that they might be having an issue, but we will look into this.
I think Mr. Cereda, Flavio Cereda.
Cereda, one second.
From Bank of America, Merrill Lynch.
Mr. Cereda, one second, please. One second. Here we go. I'll open the line now. Mr. Cereda, your line is open.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, Flavio, we can hear you okay. Thank you very much. I apologize for the inconvenience.
No, the problem is technical because obviously I press the star one and it makes a little noise, but nothing seems to happen after that. A couple of questions I had been asked. The one thing I guess I wanted to have two things more color on. Firstly, the phase-out of Armani, how that is proceeding. Can you give us any more insight in I noticed, for example, that Vision Express here in the UK is particularly aggressive now in pushing Armani on some of its offers. So I was wondering if there was any more information you can give us in terms of how you're managing that now and presumably in 3 or 4 months' time, where in order to make sure that you don't have any stock left. And secondly, on receivables, and specifically in Southern Europe, how much are you seeing that deteriorate, if you are, because it's not obvious from your numbers that there is a marked deterioration. If there is, and what are you seeing specifically, as I said, from Southern Europe on the receivables front? Thank you.
Thank you, Flavio. I would comment on the first question. Armani phase out is progressing well. We are progressing orderly based on our license agreement and in cooperation with Armani. With specific reference to Vision Express, I think that the market in the UK has been quite weak, and particularly in sunglasses.
I've seen very recent numbers in terms of market trend for sunglasses. Sunglasses in UK, for a number of reasons, including bad weather conditions, are down double digit. And so as a consequence of that, most of retailers are applying important substantial discount on all eyewear. I don't think they're doing something specific on Armani as a group of brands. They're doing it on all other brands. And, you know, I'm managing myself at the interim Europe. I travel Europe and I visit markets and I see, I would say, unfortunately, substantial discounts in most of the markets. With reference to receivable, I think that we can proudly say, or luckily say, that we have had no issues so far, and we have not seen any deterioration.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you much, sir. Sir, do you have anybody else that might have sent you an email?
Yes, I think Andrea Bonfa from Banca Aletti.
And after that, Sonia Fasolo from...
Andrea Bonfa.
Bonfa, yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. I would like to know if it's possible for you to elaborate on the agreement with the unions and the ministry. In particular, is the agreement equivalent to basically making people redundant? So what are the economics for you or the extra cost compared to say, a more drastic solution? If we can also, again, elaborate on Armani, is that correct assume that the phase-out of Armani, the impact in terms of profitability of the phase-out of Armani would be much higher in the second half of the year since you didn't add a collection, autumn-winter collection, if I'm correct. And finally, a detail, looking at your cash flow, it seems to me that the capex for this year will be around 24 million, if I multiply by two. Is that correct? Thank you.
Okay. In terms of the, with reference to the agreement with the unions, let me say this, in principle, allows us to adjust the workload and the cost of labor to volume requirements. That is basically the result of this agreement. With reference to Armani, I would say that it is, it makes sense to consider that the decrease in the second part of the year will be higher because we are not presenting the new collection August-October. So you are right on that respect. In terms of top line, of course. The bottom line is a different story. And in terms of CapEx, we have already said repeatedly that the overall CapEx will be lower than the yearly depreciation. So I cannot give you a specific number. It can be, I would say, it's something more than what you have said, indicated, but it's not that far away from that amount of money, lower than the depreciation. Maybe closer to 30 million euro than 25.
Okay. If I may, how does it work, the profitability of our money? Is that if the impact in terms of sale will be higher, what would be the implication in terms of profitability? I presume you've got some minimum guarantee or whatever. So.
Yes, of course, but it depends, of course, on the real performance, on the actual performance by quarter, by semester, and so I cannot give you a specific number on that respect. I can confirm that minimum guaranteed are applicable also in the last year, contractual year.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. And which was the lady's next name?
Sonia Fasolo.
Okay.
Yes.
We will get her now. Thank you, ma'am.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Your line is open.
Okay. Good evening. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Thank you very much. I apologize for the inconvenience.
No worries. I had just one follow-up question on the union agreement. just to be sure, but with this adjustment you can put in place, could you confirm that you are not expecting any one-off expense related to this, at least in the first 24 months?
Yes, I can confirm that based on the solidarity agreement, in principle, there is not any one-off item, depending on this agreement.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you much, ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen, we do believe we have resolved the issue. Could you please, if you do have a question or follow-up question, please press star 1. If anybody does have a question at this time, please do press star 1. Sir, we don't appear to have any questions at this time, sir.
Okay, George, thank you very much. Thank you to everyone on the call. Thank you for your patience. And again, we're really sorry about the inconvenience. We wish you a good summer holiday, and we'll speak to you soon. Thank you very much.